The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Had a fun show so far and a lot more to go. Next week, I believe I looked ahead here, barring any rainouts or anything. I believe we're 4 hours every single day next week. And we've got a few broadcasts on the road as well. Tuesday, we're going to be out at the Jewel.
I don't know if I'm up to it.
The Jewels, you're not up for a 20-hour work week?
I'm not sure. Check with me about Wednesday.
So Tuesday, we're going to be out at Jewel Osco. In the Fulton Market area. It's on Desplaines Street coming out. We broadcast there once before. Connie's Frozen Pizza Truck will be there. I'm sure we'll be at the bar area.
There's Desplaines Avenue, there's Desplaines the town, and there's a Desplaines Street. It's a lot of Desplaines.
Yeah, this is 370 North Desplaines.
Okay.
Right near Fulton Market, right downtown.
We've been there.
Yeah. Right near Milwaukee Avenue, too. Yeah. We've been there before. I used to live at Canal and Lake. Canal Randolph, Canal Lake, right in between those two streets.
That's where you wouldn't let people pet your dog.
Right. Well, you know what would happen is I had a Jack Russell that was very feisty.
Yeah.
And then
shocking.
It wasn't. I didn't care if other people pet my dog. What would happen is I would try to keep my dog away from other dogs. He was not good with other people. With other dogs, kind of like its owner. Not good with other people. But yes,
Sylvie and his dog go to a dog park for one. No interaction at all. Just hanging out,
you know,
the day.
And I was taught when he was a puppy to take him to a dog park to socialize him. And we did, but he would often get all the big dogs would come running. And I think it put him more on guard.
Yeah.
And sort of, I think, did the opposite. Instead of socializing, it gave him bad experiences.
When the big dogs would actually tussle, he would stand off to the side and scream, "Hit him in the face!
Fight, fight, fight." Yeah, exactly.
It's like his dad.
Yeah. So we're going to be out. We got a full ride next week. We're going to be out at Jewel on Tuesday. Then I think it's Cork and Kerry near the park on Thursday for the Walk is One. That Cap is walking, and then we've got big White Sox games, obviously, next week against the Guardians. Let's bring in Doug Kazarian, who does great work on ESPN. He talks to us each and every week, gives us the latest on his picks. Doug, how are you feeling today?
Oh, great to be with you guys. Always fun. We got a full football weekend. I just love listening to you guys, you know, brainstorm how you're going to handle a 20-hour work week. So
I don't know how I'm going to do it. Yeah.
The rain out, so I'm trying to figure out how a radio show can get rain out.
Well, if one of the Sox games gets rained out next week and then there's a doubleheader the next day,
yeah,
then our show goes away and Sox baseball is
I get to lay down for a longer period of time the following day. That's how it goes.
Well, yeah, it's good to take the listeners behind the curtain how the sausage is made, so to speak. So.
Yes.
Hey, Doug, what was if there was one surprise, or maybe there was a couple from week one, from the gambling perspective, what was the biggest surprise of week one in the NFL?
Well, I think it's the carnage for survivor pools, which means the upset. So four of the five most common picks in survivor pools were all bounced, including the San Francisco 49ers at the hands of your Chicago Bears. So that was a big one, in addition to the Titans, the Colts, the Bengals. So but I think it's important to remember, and I cautioned a lot of people about betting teasers. You know, the betting market is much tighter at the end of the season because the data points, there's just more and more data points. Right now, a lot of people and a lot of math guys are using data points from last year, and we think we know who's the good team, but we don't really know. I mean, the Bengals went on to win the division a year ago. They were 125-1 to win it all entering the season. So I just think the market is really loose this time of year. So just be careful with teasers and other things that you're paying for, because the market just isn't that tight. And, you know, you shouldn't be having to pay top dollar for something that's really not guaranteed, so to speak, in terms of the pricing.
Yeah. So we always see then in week two, a lot of people overreact to what happened in week one. Let's start with our Bears. So maybe our Bears are more competitive. We know their roster is a long way to go. That's a big number that they're an underdog by 10 points. I've got it right now. But the Packers are very good coming off a loss. But these are different Packers. So how do you view Bears and Packers?
You know, it's a great point you make, because either teams are going to continue to be undervalued or overvalued, because we have this week, depending on your Bengals line, let's say it's 7.5 at Dallas, we have five teams that lost week one that are laying at least 7.5 points or more, Packers being one of them. And that's crazy. Just to put this in perspective, since 2000, we've only had a total of 22 0-1 teams laying 7.5 or more in week two. That's about one per week, right? Well, we have five, if you include the Bengals this week. So we're going to learn a lot more about these teams. I just don't know if it's a scheduling quirk or there's some teams that we're overlooking, and maybe the Bears. Maybe the Bears are being overlooked and that they're a lot more competent. People realize, I think we're going to learn a lot about both the Bears and the Packers this weekend.
So is it a stay-away game for you then?
Yeah, I mean, these lines are pretty beefy. I need to see more from Rodgers. I mean, on one hand, you had the long touchdown pass that was dropped on the first play from scrimmage for Green Bay, but also there was just an overall apathy and disinterest by Rodgers' body language. Now, we saw that a year ago when they had to play the neutral site game against New Orleans and Jacksonville, and then everything was fine, R-E-L-A-X, and they went 13-3 again. So I just don't know about the Bears. Obviously, the monsoon is a variable. Obviously, both teams played in the monsoon, so you can't hold that as a total excuse, but I need to see more of this to see if the gap between the Bears and another team that's supposedly better is as pronounced as we thought going into the season, and the weather is not sort of the level of the playing field.
Doug, in general terms, when you have double-digit lines, are those most frequently over the course of years been covered by the favorite or by the underdog?
It's a great question. So actually, over the last 5 years, double-digit favorites have actually performed quite well over the ATS over the years. And it's surprising, because usually this is a league that prides itself on parity and is all about, you know, any given Sunday. But when you get these double-digit spreads, they're kind of there for a reason. Now, it's 57%-ish. It's not 67%. So the dogs do bark and bite. We saw that in Week 18 last year with the Jacksonville Jaguars outright beating the Colts in a must-win situation. It's case by case. But for the most part, and this will take shape more in weeks five and on, when I talked about the market getting tighter, we'll know the outliers. We'll know the two or three great teams and the two or three horrendous teams. And then everybody's sort of in the middle. The point spread, you want to be grabbing double digits. But there's going to be some really bad football teams.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't have them this year, but at times we do. Like Jacksonville at times was horrendous last year, but then again, they beat the Bills last year during the regular season without Buffalo scoring a touchdown. It was 9-6 final. But to answer your question, while like double-digit favorites have been covering.
By the way, the game that I'm really interested in is Bucks and Saints. So the Saints have had Tom Brady's number as of late, and they're really banged up. The Saints are getting 2.5 at home. Who are you playing?
I'm thinking.
I know it's a tough one.
I don't think Doug liked the question.
He's still thinking.
Is he?
Yeah, hold on. Doug, we're ready when you are.
I don't think he's got an answer for you. I think you stumped him.
Yeah, we lost Doug. We'll get back with Doug here.
It is a good point, though.
I picked the Saints is who I went with this week.
As you mentioned, they've had Brady's number for whatever reason. Dennis Allen is their head coach now, right? He was their defensive coordinator. Right. They found a way to actually not just contain Brady, but take it away from him.
Doug, we were talking about Saints and Bucks. The Saints are a 2.5-point home dog, and they've had Brady's number. Do you like the Saints in this one?
I do. I do for a variety of reasons. And my apologies, guys. That was all on my end in terms of the technical glitch there. But, yeah, I actually probably have too much money on the Saints' futures right now, in large part because of this matchup. I thought they had a really good chance to win the division because of their head-to-head with Brady. And, frankly, these four regular season matchups have not been that close. They've all been 9 points or higher. Some were shutouts. And Brady, for whatever reason, has not been able to handle this Saints defense. Dennis Allen remains in the system. He's the head coach now instead of the defensive coordinator. But also this offensive line's in shambles. And we knew it all summer, and I think the left tackle got hurt again in the opener last Sunday night. So with Brady limited weapons as well, Godwin got nicked up, I just think you have to grab the points or even the money line since the line is now under 3. And my favorite bet in the game, fellas, is Tom Brady to throw an interception. It's minus 133. He's thrown 8 in the 4 regular season meetings with at least one coming in each one. So a couple of them he's had 3, but like he's had at least one in all 4. So I like that. He's going to have to press. He's going to be under pressure. And I would think the Saints at home on that fast track can get a pick there.
Doug, are you surprised by the line in the Patriots-Steelers game? The Patriots are 2.5-point favorites in Pittsburgh. And how does this one play out, in your opinion?
Very surprised. If you go back to last year, I believe it was week 2 after the Steelers beat the Bills at Orchard Park, they hosted the Raiders. And T.J. Watt got hurt in the first quarter, and that really changed the game. So Watt being out is a humongous thing. You don't think that with any defensive player. Obviously, he's defensive player of the year, but it's a big factor. It changes their defense. That means they're going to have to blitz a little more and get pressure on the quarterback than they would without having to blitz than they would with Watt. So I think that leaves one or two less guys in coverage. So I think it's but I'm under the impression, talking to people that I know things, that the Patriots didn't look that bad last week. It was more the Dolphins made some plays, field position. I think the Patriots stink. My favorite future bet with them to miss the playoffs this year. But their season's like on the line. Because if they lose this one, and I know it's only week 2, they could really, really go into a tailspin this year. Just who they have next on the schedule, and they're just never going to dig out of that hole having the Bills in their division. So it's really like a kitchen sink game, if you will, for the Pats. But I want no part of them because I just don't think they're very good. But Belichick is still Belichick. But next week they host the Ravens, then they go at the Packers. So you're looking at 0-4. If they don't win this game, and that's a hard hole to climb out of. But I thought Pittsburgh looked sharp and better than I thought on offense. And this, I'm surprised this line keeps climbing.
Before we get to your best plays, what about two teams that a lot of people love in Vegas? The Vikings and Eagles. Those are sort of sexy picks this year. Who do you like in this game? The Eagles are a 2.5-point favorite at home.
You know, it's a great question because they are both what we like to call bet-on teams. Like, you want to bet on them. They're a chic pick right now, Vikings and Eagles. And this goes back to what I was saying a little bit ago about we don't really know a ton. We don't have a ton of data points. I think the Eagles do win this division, especially after Dak's injury. But I think the Vikings could win their division as well. There's a lot to like from what we last saw. But as great as Jefferson is, he was wide open on some plays. Like, some dudes not even in the screen like it was a Big 12 game. And that's just a Packers collapse. So I'm very interested to see how this all plays out. I think when you talk about more ways to win and a path to victory, like we do in the fight game, whether it be boxing or UFC, I think the Vikings have kind of more ways to win. Eagles need to have things going their way a little bit more. It's a coin flip, but I'd probably take the Vikes plus the 2.5 here if I had to.
Hey, give me some help tonight. Florida State is at Louisville. Do you have a feeling one way or another about this game?
Well, I'm just impressed, Waddle, that you went Louisville instead of Louisville.
Well, so, listen, I'm from over just across the Ohio River, you know? I mean, I grew up in Cincinnati. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you do. But how about this? I've always wondered, then if it's Louisville, why is it the Ville and not the Vol? I've never really
That's a really good
that.
Question, not one that I have an answer for.
Well, I leaned to Florida State. I was pretty impressed with them, but Louisville showed me something bouncing back from their first loss. I'm going to wait and kind of in-game wager this. I think this is an over bet. If anything, I'm hoping things start slow, kind of like FSU's first game against LSU did. But the other game, I'm really interested. I'm laying the 16.5 with Air Force at Wyoming. This team could go undefeated and win their conference. They have that signature rushing attack. The altitude in Wyoming is obviously not going to bother a team from Colorado. I like the Falcons to go in there and run it up against a Wyoming team that got waxed by Illinois earlier this year. So Air Force is more than capable of covering this number on the road.
What about any other plays that you love from the NFL or college?
Yeah, so my favorite play in college, and I'm going to write, I've talked about it on air this week, and I have a column coming out every Saturday and Sunday mornings during the football season, sort of a cheat sheet, things you have to know. I want to focus on Alabama. Yeah, they're laying 49 against Louisiana Monroe, but there's actually value, if you can believe it, betting the first half line. And it all comes down to how Nick Saban is. He operates where his team is full throttle out of the gates, regardless of opponent. So he's the rare coach who can do that. And they have an explosive offense and defense. And then Saban, more than any other coach, is very vanilla in the fourth quarter, plays reserves in the play calling, and very gentlemanly throws the opponent a bone, so to speak, and so they can maybe get some points on the scoreboard or just stop Alabama from scoring at will. So odds makers really have not figured out how to do a first-half line when Alabama is favored by a ton for the game. Not like last week when they were 21-point favorites, but when they're 35 or more, that's when they can't figure out the first half line. In fact, since 2018, which was Saban's first year with a tempo spread offense, Tua's first year as a starter, they're 10-2 in the first half line in these games, and 6-6 for the regular full game. So the edge in the betting line, the line value is actually in the first half because you get a max performance from such an elite team against such a bad team, whereas the game line and first half like are commensurate with one another, and that's the mistake that odds makers are making. They're treating Bama just like every other big favorite, and that's the mistake. So I think Bama's going to be at 42-49 nothing at half.
Wow.
And then may not cover for the game, but the first half is where the betting line value is.
So they're minus 31, so you like them minus 31 in the first half.
31 to 32-ish, yeah. So I like them the most. I actually, on the flip side, I like UConn catching 47.5 at the Big House. Michigan has been a huge favorite in all these games. Didn't cover against Hawaii last week because the fourth quarter, you guys know, you got the jump pass from Hawaii. Just nonsense. I think UConn is much more competent than they have been in years past. Jim Mora Jr. is the head coach. Harbaugh's got Big Ten conference play next week. He's got his quarterback situation figured out. Doesn't need to go blazing in the second half with the quote-unquote backup. He's figured it all out. I think 47.5, whatever it is just too big of a number for a UConn team that's fairly competent, like I said, and going to be able to do some things in the second half. It's just way too many points. It's going to land 40 or so in my eyes, so I'll take that number. In terms of other games that are more watchable, if you will, I like the Texas A&M minus 6. Big move on this from Sharp Money in Vegas. Went from like 3 to 6 with the announcement that Johnson's going to be the quarterback. He's Brad Johnson's son. He's the transfer from LSU. I think he's great. He's a 5-star coming out of high school. He's the better quarterback. So Jimbo kind of making the change here. And the thing with these teams that are so good on paper and then don't live up to expectations on a weekly basis, that's what makes Saban so great. But a guy like Jimbo Fisher, this A&M team's a little immature, for lack of a better word. Like last year, they lost back-to-back weeks and then beat Bama. So like their ceiling is pretty high. So I think they're going to get up for this game. Now, you just can't count on them on a weekly basis like last week against App State. But I think we see the best version of the Aggies, especially with Johnson at quarterback. I'm going to lay the 6 there. I do like that quite a bit. And then another game a little off the radar is Ohio catching 19. I just like this team. They went into Penn State and they got the over. They didn't get the cover. But I like this Ohio team out of the MAC. I think they're competent, like I said, and you're catching 19. And it's just, you know, you got to figure out which underdogs, not necessarily in college because the variance of lines is so big, but like which can hang around a little bit. And I think Ohio is one of those teams that can at Iowa State. They're not that good, the Cyclones. We saw what they did against Iowa. I think 19 is just too many points. And Iowa State has, I believe, Baylor on deck next week. This is sort of a sandwich game because they had the Cy-Hawk rivalry game last week with the Hawkeyes. I think this is a nice spot for Ohio with Nathan Rourke's brother, quarterback, to come in and at least do some things on offense to catch the 19 and cover within the number.
Doug, great work. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
You got it, fellas. Have a great weekend.
There
you
go. There's Doug Kazarian with lots of plays there at the end. I want to take Michael in Waynefield. He's been hanging on. Michael, you're on ESPN 1000 with Waddle and Selvey. What's on your mind?
What's up, boys? Hey, so I've been told by a bunch of people at work that I tend to drink a little too much Kool-Aid of the Bears. So you guys are pretty good realists and bring people down. So, you know, I'm confused at why nobody is giving the Bears any better than 10 points. I mean, I get it's Green Bay and I get it's Aaron Rodgers, but like, Aaron Rodgers will put the ball where somebody can catch it, but if your hands are 2 feet apart, you're gonna miss a wide open touchdown catch. So, in my eyes, the Bears secondary is better than the Packers' current wide receiver core. So, I think it'll be a close game.
There's a lot of youth on both sides. There's a lot of youth in the Bears secondary. There's a lot of youth in the Packers receiving core.
Right, and I would say that Jalen Johnson is a better corner than their number one, whoever it may be. I mean, you have a rookie, you have an old man, and you have a has-been. So it's like, who's he throwing the ball to? Tunyon? Like, I love sounds the Bears' like money
think,
line yeah. here.
It sounds like you think the Bears should be favored by 10.
Bet the house on the Bears, Michael,
don't bet
right?
the house on anything.
It sounds like he wants to.
I put a lot of money on the money line already. I don't think they're favored by 10, but I just, like, to me, I don't understand how they're a 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah,
It's the history of what Rodgers has done.
Yeah,
not only after a loss, but also against the
this
Bears.
Team. Look, he's 23-5 against the Bears. Like, I don't think that LaFleur has ever lost a game after losing the week before. I mean, there are a lot of things and trends that people are looking at. I think people look at the Packers, Michael, and say, hey, look, they caught a Vikings team. The Vikings, you know, maybe the Vikings aren't as good as they showed and the Packers aren't as bad. The Bears beat a 49ers team 19-10. They had 204 yards of total offense. So, I mean, look,
possible, Michael. Yes. I have no clue what's going to happen.
I took the Bears in the points, but I'm personally not predicting a win. But, you know, again, I look at this Bears team, Michael, and say at the very least, they're disciplined. They take care of the football.
Yeah.
They don't normally, or they haven't under this new regime, look like a team that's going to beat themselves. And that makes them more competitive.
And my thing is, Packers have always beat the Bears because they've had a number one receiver. Like, Devontae Adams was uncontainable last year when we had a 24-3 lead. We couldn't contain him. Who's that this year? I think that the Vikings showed everybody how to beat the Packers and to really just keep the sour face on Aaron Rodgers. And that's just covering, you know, basically Christian Watson and just putting some pressure on him because he doesn't have that Devontae Adams who will get open in the 5 yards and then dust the corners.
Look, Michael, Devontae Adams was a second-round pick, so he was highly thought of, but still, not everyone knew of him, and Aaron Rodgers has developed a lot of these wide receivers. None of these guys, they've always found receivers. None of them had these well-known names until Rodgers started getting chemistry with them, right?
By the way, the Packers had last year averaged 5 yards per carry in each of the two games they played against the Bears. I'm expecting to see them load things up and get the ball to Jones and to Dylan Moore. They ran it for 156 in the first matchup. They ran it for 120, but they didn't run it very often in the second matchup. So, look, I'm with you. I don't know exactly what's going to transpire. I think you can make a case for anything to happen up there Sunday night.
I would not be surprised with any of the three. Well, I think I would be surprised if they come away with a win.
But surprised, not shocked, but yeah, I would say surprised.
Yeah, 312-332-3776. If you want to weigh in on the Bears, Packers, we've got Like It, Love It coming up. And Mike Tirico, who's on the call on NBC, is going to be joining us at 5. Guys, city full of frozen pizza fans, we know that Connie's can deliver that authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. Means so much here in Chicago. Connie's means quality. Their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. Whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust or their new and crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust, Connie's Frozen has you covered with restaurant quality pies you can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold, like Jewel Osco, where we're going to be near the Fulton Market area. It's on Desplaines Street. Check us out on Tuesday with Connie's Frozen Pizza, broadcasting from the Jewel Osco. Bring home the best today. Connie's real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I like it. I love it.
Just a little taste of it.
I love it. I want some more of it.
And you know what I like before we play a
pizza?
Gamble? I do like pizza. I like Tracy's updated weather forecast.
Yeah.
She just tweeted it out at us. Then she just texted me saying, what did she say here? Says, if you're driving up there in the morning, it's possible you will drive through rain. But now it's looking more like we should be out of the rainy situation for the night. Kickoff at 7:20. 7 degrees as the showers are coming to an
7
end.
7 degrees. That's cold.
70.
Oh.
Did I say 7?
Did you hear 7? I thought I heard
the
7. It was going to be
tundra.
Like, it's a little early for that.
70. Okay. And then in the fourth quarter, it's going to be 66 and breezy with gusts near 20 miles an hour.
So it's going to be dry.
Sounds like it.
According
sounds like
to Tracy.
Hey, look, that's fine. If I don't have to break out that rain suit that I just purchased at Target, that's...
Is it like a thin rain suit or is it insulated as well so you'll sweat in it?
No. Okay. It's the very thin cheap. It was like $20.
Nice.
It's like a jacket instead of a poncho with the pants.
Yeah, it's good.
It's supposed to be light and breezy.
Yeah. Instead of warm and swampy?
Swampy's bad.
Yeah, swampy's not good.
Swampy's really bad. Yeah. So that's your updated forecast. This sounds good. Because that's why I'm really going this year, too, is for two reasons. First of all, the Bears don't suck yet. Like, going up there early in the year is great.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then also, the weather doesn't suck yet. So I'm avoiding
like last
two
week,
things.
Yeah, I know.
But in September, I won't go to a game at Lambeau Field in December.
Well, I mean, you're going to have the shelter of the Tundra Trio. If, in fact, the weather gets bad, you just bail and go over to one of the...
The Tundra Trio is outside Lambeau Stadium.
I get it. You can leave and then go into the house and watch the second half from
What's
there
the
if it gets
pouring. What's the point of watching the second half
if it's pouring,
on a TV? I could do
I
that
wish I would have had some indoor situation last Sunday on the lakefront. You don't want to be up there experiencing what I experienced.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
That's true. I don't want a monsoon.
Yeah.
Nah. So the records, what were they? I know they were not good for me last week.
So last week, Waddle swept the board. He went 3-0.
3-0.
Meller picked up 5 points. I picked up 1, and Sylvie, you got the reverse sweep.
What did you play last week?
I played a bunch of Bears prop bets.
Yeah, you got prop dusted.
Is that what you did? You went prop dusted.
Listen, he was working off of his weather app, so he thought he had a great shot here.
Prop dusted.
Prop dusted, yep.
Oh, I used to walk through a bar and prop dust a lot of people.
I used to do it upstairs quite frequently, too.
All right, so Waddle, you have the honors, my friend.
Do I have the honors?
Yep.
I'm doing some dumpster diving this weekend. I'm going to go with, you may be a little surprised with who I'm going with. My like is the Lions at home. They host the Commanders. They're giving Washington 1 point. I think your favorite coach in the National Football League, Dan Campbell, gets his first win of the season at home in front of the crew.
But I am a Ron Rivera fan, too.
But I am as well, but the Lions are frisky, just like the Bears are. I think they can get the win.
I just got to double check this line. It's 1.5, by the way. So if they win,
one and a half.
The Lions are
one and a half.
What do you got, Meller? You were in second.
All right, the Hard Knocks. I see you there. The Hard Knocks effect is real for Waddle. I like it. For me, gentlemen, I like the Dolphins Ravens game in Baltimore. The over-under, the total is 44.5. Lamar Jackson, very susceptible to the blitz. The Dolphins like the blitz. Tua Tagovailoa, hey, that shouldn't have happened.
It's always when you're talking.
It's very annoying. Tua, obviously, is not all that yet as a quarterback, so I think the Dolphins are going to struggle to score points as well. Go ahead and give me the under 44.5 in that Dolphins-Ravens tilt.
All right, life's too short, though, to bet the under, as Big Cat would say.
Not if you win, Sylvie. Not if you win.
By the way, just keep prop dusting.
Like It, Love It is brought to you by Keeper's Heart Irish and American Whiskey. Tyler, what's your like?
My like, I'm going to roll with what a lot of people think is sort of a fishy line here. I'm going to take the Pats minus the 2.5 against the Steelers. The Steelers just lost probably their most valuable player in terms of a spread value. And also, Mitch Trubisky is the type of quarterback that Bill Belichick licks his lips over.
What?
So I'm gonna take the Patriots to cover the 2.5.
Remember it, when I was looking at this today to come up with my, you know, crafty selections, and I saw that, I was like, I thought it was a misprint.
I know, but usually when it looks like a misprint, they know.
You're right. You're right.
My like is, this is why I led Doug into the Saints game. I'm going to play the trend with the Saints getting points at home against this. Everyone's on the injured list, too.
Yeah.
Like, we were raving about Julio Jones.
Godwin and how won't healthy. Play.
He's on the injured list with a knee, I think.
Their left tackle, I think, is also on the injured list.
So I'm going to take the Saints plus 2.5. Their defense is really good.
All right. There you go.
What about your love?
My love, I'm in the dumpster again. I got the Giants giving 1.5 to the Panthers. It's in New York. How about this? Last week, the Panthers gave up 217 rushing yards to the Browns. Saquon looked great last week.
Yeah.
He looked great. Good. Ran for like 160-some. I think the Giants are feisty. I think that, you know, they're feeling themselves a little bit. All they got to do is win the game. I mean, like, you're giving 1.5. I like the Giants. Because I got the Lions and the Giants.
The Giants are 1-0. They beat Tennessee.
They're still the Giants.
You're last year's dumpster diving.
Well, yeah, I think the Giants have been in the dumpster for quite some time. That's rotting flesh.
It's the first time I think they're above 500 since 2016.
Ever.
They won more Super Bowls recently than we could ever imagine.
Yeah, a couple, actually.
Yeah.
All right, for my love, gentlemen, we go to Vegas, baby, Vegas. Look at the Raiders. They're laying 5.5. They have themselves the Cardinals coming to visit. They're a hot mess. And the Raiders, they would have had a chance if not for Derek Carr playing in that football last weekend. I think they get right. I love the Raiders. -5.5.
The Raiders. What do you got, Tyler?
All right. So we talk a lot about frisky teams. I think a team that's pretty frisky, the Houston Texans. And they're getting 10 points against the Denver Broncos. So I'm going to roll with Lovie Smith and the Houston Texans plus 10.
You don't think this is where Russ gets right and they overcome that
he
Monday
can get
night?
Right, but is he going to get plus 10 right? I don't know.
Well, you love it. You say no. So, all right, Houston.
Davis Mills, 23 of 37 for 240 and two tutties last week. He's been solid.
I love the Bengals. The Bengals are a 7-point favorite going on the road to Dallas. Last week, Dallas couldn't score with Dak Prescott. It's Cooper Rush time, and I think they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder, the Cincinnati Bengals. We've seen Joe Burrow overcome bad losses like to the Bears last year. So I love the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati. My taste, as I stay in the dumpster, the proverbial dumpster, teams that weren't so good last year, obviously. I'm taking the Bears getting 10. I'll take the 10. Nothing would shock me, but they delivered for my taste last week. I'm going to stick with them for my taste. I'll take the 10 points.
I hope it's a close game. What do you got, Meller?
I took Sylvie's lead. I looked at the prop bets this week. I since knew that it was on the table as a possibility. He did well. Why not follow him down that path?
That rabbit hole?
Yeah, why not? You know what? For my taste, gentlemen, I looked to Bears South. It was calling my name. Damian Williams, the former Bears running back, has been ruled out. That means that former Bears kick returner slash running back Cordero Patterson is in line for a big day. The total line for yards from scrimmage is 68.5. That means Cordero Patterson just needs 69 yards.
Yes.
Oh, give me perfect. The over on Cordero Patterson.
Tyler, are you playing him on Sunday?
Yeah, he's in the lineup.
Okay.
We got a big game against Danny.
Good call, Ian. Mm-hmm. Good call.
Thank you, Ryan. You guys could beat Danny in your sleep for fantasy football. Or does Charlie have his team a little bit better than past years?
Yeah, it's Zetterman with the shadow general manager, Charlie Bevins, taking over. They're in better shape than they have been.
Charlie's bartending. He's not even paying attention to the team.
He's writing one line, just getting ready for his next 5 minutes.
I don't know. Maybe he gets good information at the bar. It's always a good spot to get information. Tyler, what's yours?
I'm going to match Waddle here. I'm going to go with the Bears getting the 10 points. We're taking some frisky teams this week, so I'll take the Bears plus 10.
Hey, listen, Mr. Ofer. Calm down over there, okay? Start writing your speech for later tonight.
This music gets me ready, too, for Mike Tirico coming up here at 5. My taste is the 49ers. Ed. It's a big number.
I thought about that one.
But they're going to, Shanny's going to get them right. And they're a much better team. And Seattle's coming off of that emotional win against their former quarterback. And they're not good, and they're going on the road.
There's no way Geno Smith goes 16 of 17 in the first half for a couple of tutties.
Yeah.
No chance.
I don't like them. It's a taste for the 49ers getting right in week two. All right, there you go. Like it, love it. Just a taste of it. Again, brought to you by our great friends and partners at Keeper's Heart Irish and American Whiskey. What to watch for coming up this weekend. These boys were right on something last week. I'll share that with you because I took someone's recommendation, and I am glad I did. Plus, Mike Tirico on Bears and Packers. He's got the national call of the game, and he's joining us at 5. Guys, I want to tell you about my friends at Window Nation. As football fans, we love halftime. Right now, it's halftime. At Window Nation, that means you score new windows for your home at half the price. You get two free windows for every two you buy with no payments till 2025. They're going to save you money here in the short term with no payments till 2025 with getting those two free windows with every two you buy. They're also going to save you money in the long term because this is a great investment for your home. You're going to save money on your energy bills. You're going to improve the curb appeal on your house. These are custom-made windows that Window Nation does right the first time. From the sales process to the installation, they get it right the first time. I want you to call them today. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. They're the absolute best. It's a family-owned business that have rave reviews all across the web. 866-90-NATION or check them out today at windownation.com. You're going to absolutely love them. Two free windows with every two you buy. No payments till 2025. My guy, Alan Favada, is their sales manager, Chicago guy. You're going to love them. Ask for Alan at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
What to Watch For brought to you by my great friends, our great friends and partners at Connie's Frozen Pizza. We're going to be out at the Jewel Osco in the city on Tuesday. It's on Desplaines Street right near Fulton Market area. Pizza truck will be there. We'll be there from 2 to 6. It's this Tuesday. So don't miss that. I got to give you guys a compliment. You guys pushed me because someone in my life, and I don't know who it was bad-mouthing the patient. So I thought that it was going to be bad. And like all three of you guys or two of you guys last week said, you got to watch The Patient. It's on Hulu, right? Is that where it is?
So. Yeah, I'm stuck on, I think I've only done the first two, but soon to get
back. I'm through three, and I think there are four episodes. What I was shocked by, first of all, it's great. But second of all, they're all under 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So they're done in a blink of an eye. You don't have to invest an hour and 15 to every episode. It's a great drama with lots of intrigue. Makes you feel a little weird, too. It's quite odd.
Yeah.
The actors are great.
Yeah.
So
it's good
call
series
by you guys. What are you watching for?
There was something new that I started watching. My wife started watching Handmaid's Tale is back. I think it was started two nights ago. I don't watch it. My wife has been a faithful viewer of that throughout the course of the series. But I watched a three-part documentary called Murders Before the Marathon. And it's about, if you like documentaries and you like crime shows and stuff, it's about, you remember the Boston Marathon bombers? There was a murder prior to the marathon several months before that they thought was linked to one of the Tsarnaev brothers.
Really?
The one that actually died in the shootout, not the one that's in jail now.
The brother who is a boxer?
Yes. That there was there were three people killed in Watertown, which is a community outside of Boston. And the essence of it was, and a woman became an investigative reporter, and one of her friends was murdered in this, the crime. And the essence of the article or the documentary is if in fact they had actually pursued the case further. There's some really neat twists and turns
that they maybe would have caught him beforehand.
It. Yeah, yes. They could have prevented everything.
So I mean, look, again, it's not bright and sunny and blue skies.
Right. It's like my recommendation last week.
But I think if you like crime shows and this is a documentary, with a specific topic, I enjoyed it.
Let me give you one because mine was just complimenting you guys for the patient. And someone asked, "Is that Michael Scott?" Yes, it is Michael Scott. It's great. This is a recommendation by Good Time Patty Boyle. He told us about this a couple days ago. We've not advertised this yet. Netflix has a show called, and this is right up my alley, Chef's Table, and this is pizza. So they've done many Chef Tables season. This one is featuring all different pizzas from around the country and the world. And it is awesome. It's a light view, like right before bed if you want to watch something. And if you love pizza like me, Netflix, Chef's Table, pizza. Boys?
Nice. All right, boys, I'll go ahead and give it. I believe I've given this out way back when, but in light of her victory at the Emmys, Zendaya winning for Best Lead Actress in a Dramatic Series, I'm going to go ahead and give out Euphoria again for anybody who has not had a chance to check that out on HBO, HBO Max. Highly enjoy it. It is about a young girl who is in high school dealing with addiction and really puts a microscope under high school life and just dealing with that in 2022. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. So go ahead and check out Euphoria if you have not yet.
All right, Tyler.
I'm going to go with Atlanta season 4 premiered last night with Donald Glover, and he's a manager for his cousin who's a rapper.
I saw the promo. There's a comedic.
Yeah, it's a comedy. It. Yeah. Well, so the thing was season 3, he was off filming a bunch of other stuff, so he's not really in season 3. Season 3, I'm not going to lie, was kind of a hate watch, but season 4 he's going to be more involved with it. So I like the prospects of season 4 right now.
All right, there you go. What to watch for every Friday at about 4:45. Brought to you again by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Mike Tirico has been a friend of this show for many, many years. He is now the lead play-by-play man on NBC for Sunday Night Football. He's got Bears and Packers, and he joins us next.